It was laid down through Christ and the teachings. And tonight, I thought, well, let's end the year looking back at that, thinking about being rooted in the paradigm, being rooted in the teaching, being rooted in the way of Christ the apostles, by looking at the story, you know, the full story of the work of God through the span of time. The other line that kind of drove my thinking for tonight is the idea of generations. And we've been talking a lot also at the end of the year. We're moving towards a stage in the life of this church of transferring the work to the next generation, because some of us are getting older, not including me. This is all just for men, white. But you think back, our family traces back all the way to the beginning of the story, not just hundreds of years, but thousands of years. And the idea of being rooted in a family, the first thing I thought of was, I don't know why it came into my mind, but it was the idea of root of Jesse. And, you know, there's a tradition that's all around that idea of root of Jesse. But if you go back to Isaiah, there shall come forth a root from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But what righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. And going back to Isaiah, talking about the prophets of what's to come, and that's, you know, the traditional focus of the Christmas season. As we look at the story, you don't see much in there about having a Christmas Eve service, but that's that freedom that we do have. And the idea of tradition, the tree of Jesse is a tradition that started in Europe, the Germanic area kind of things, with trying to trace back, you know, our heritage through Christ. And the idea of Christmas tree could be maybe tied to that, but there's a lot of artwork around the whole idea of the tree of Jesse with, you know, David and his family, and then the trees growing out of that with Christ sitting at the top of that. And it's really interesting if you want to go back and look at the artwork through the medieval times of that. But it's that idea that we can trace our story back to the King David, and with Jesus being the branch that we've been adopted into, grafted into, that as adopted family, we serve that message. And we've built a world of traditions around the story. And I've got the Santa hat on, you know, a tradition. I've got the white beard, you know, the Christmas tradition, or whatever you want to think about it as. But it's easy to become rooted in traditions instead of the teachings. And I want us to think about that tonight. What is it that we have our roots into? And our Christmas traditions often have nothing to do with the story, but instead there are ways to connect our familiar with the story to make it more cultural. But what is it that we're really trying to focus on? So the idea of being rooted is a visualization. You know, it helps us understand that. And it's been used to tell a story from the beginning. And our paradigm can be traced back to the good news and the teaching. So let's spend a night looking at the story and root our celebration in these. We have lives that are driven by habit, tradition, paradigm. And as we reflect at the end of 2018, I want us to think about these habits, traditions, and paradigms. Are the anchors holding us down? Or are the anchors giving us solid foundation so we don't blow about? And, you know, Steve Kemp's not here, right? He's probably on his way to San Antonio. But we were talking a couple weeks ago, and Steve said traditions can so often be anchors that hold us from moving forward. The teaching should be our anchor to keep us from being blown about. But examine our traditions and not put too much value in those, but celebrate them. We have grace, and we can have fun with what we have and enjoy life. Let's take a look at the story and listen to the teaching and put fresh eyes on what we are called to, and not confuse tradition with the truth we're called to. And one last thing before we move into the evening is we also have a tradition at the end of the year. Dom will leave the light on. You know, we're in the last days of 2018. We're in our traditional budget position. So I'd call us all to be faithful as we close out the year and give what we can to bring us into a strong position in 2019, so we can just, whatever hits us as far as work opportunities, we can serve those out with the finances we need. The plan for tonight is we're going to work through the story with various readers, and the readers of all tables have been identified to send a reader up. And when it's your turn, have you come up and read your portion of the mic, and then we'll go between readings and songs, readings and songs. But before we got into that, I thought just as a quick conversation to start at your table, I'd like you to just at your table talk about what are your traditions, where do they come from, what do they mean, and are they rooted in the story or just tradition? And how do you know the difference between just a tradition or something that's actually teaching in truth? You got 2 minutes. Just kick those around. What are the traditions you have in family, and where do they come from, and what's it mean for the story? I know that's not very much time, but I suspect you're able to identify quickly some traditions you have as families. I know 50, 60 years ago, our family's tradition was to always get an orange in your stocking. But nobody of my kids' generation lived through that, where during the Depression, an orange was a big deal. So my parents made sure we had oranges at Christmas. It took us about 30 years to figure the story out, but that's how traditions get started sometimes. But if you start examining those, I'm not saying they're bad, but it's important to know what they are. And I think one of the most traditional things to start with is, of course, Charlie Brown Christmas. And when Linus was asked the true meaning of Christmas, I'm going to be the first reader, because that's one of my, Linus is probably one of my top theologians. So this is, kudos to Charles Schultz. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Our first song will be Christmas Tree.
Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, what faithful leaves unchanging. Oh, Christmas tree. What's tricky about that song is you look it up and there's like 10 different versions of words, so apologize.
Well, I thought we were going to do it in German. I had my Tannenbaum all ready to go. So, of course, Christmas tree, the root of Jesse, there's that tree theme starting out tonight. But what we're going to do now is work our way through the story. It's from the the story, the New International Version, where they just write it out as if it was a story, so it doesn't have all the breaks and the artificial constructs added to that. And we're going to do it by assigned by table. And I went around, and just like we're sitting around and on Christmas Eve as a family, you know, the patriarch said, "You're going to read now." But I let tables make decisions. So if you came late, you may have it assigned to you at your table. So starting out our night with a story is from the Siegel table. And I think they nominated. Come on up.
Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's way to will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death. And was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
Thank you.
So Ben started us out with words of Isaiah, you know, prophesying. I guess we could have gone with Aaron, but didn't want to go back to the well too soon as being Isaiah. But the prophecy, and then following up the song of the fulfillment of that prophecy, now shifts over to the story of that prophecy being fulfilled in Christ. And our next reader will be Don.
God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her, and Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors."
Delivery, you, Mary, did you? But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above the dark and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by, yet in thy dark streets shining the everlasting light.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Right. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply. Challenge. to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which is just as they had been told.
Jay recommended this song. We asked, do you want the traditional version or the traditional version? And he said, we have shouts of great oi, so let's do the traditional version. So, you guys cool with that? All right, let's do it. It's got a long intro.
day where rocks and mule are feeding. Good brothers, fear for the world here. The silent word is pleading. Hails and spears shall pierce him through the cross.
Fitting exclamation, right?
Joseph and Mary decided to remain in Bethlehem after Jesus was born. Faithful to the law of Moses, they had Jesus circumcised when he was 8 days old. There, the new family was greeted by two older saints, Simeon and Anna, to whom God gave the opportunity to see and recognize the Messiah before the end of their days. And these wouldn't be the last individuals to discern the special nature of the child Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the last east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who was born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star had seen when it rose, went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child where his mother Mary, and they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son."
This is a song inspired by Psalm 45.
Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it, thinking he was in their company. They traveled for a day. Then they began to looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents saw him, and they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man.
So that's just the beginning of the story. And you know, the beginning of the work of Christ is yet to come from that. But this lets us trace our genealogy back to our roots. And before we close out with our final song, I'd like to close our evening with prayer, but also thank our readers. You notice we had multiple generations up here to make the point of family of families, and generation second, third, fourth generation is with us tonight. So let's join in prayer. Father, I pray tonight for our family of families and networks around the world to become fully rooted in the good news and the teachings, that we shall embrace our coming from the shoot, from the stump of Jesse, and as adopted branches from his roots bear fruit. May the Spirit of the Lord rest upon us, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord be our guide, our root, our hope. May we delight, shall we be in the fear of the Lord. May we not judge by what we see with our eyes, or decide disputes by what our ears hear, but live by righteousness. We pray for equity for the meek of the earth, and that we trust in the shoot of Jesse to strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips, and to be our hope and comfort as our year comes to an end. We pray for a strong finish to our year and for our ministry needs and for the year to come as our family to serve with passion, energy, and rooted establishment so as to not be thrown about by the winds that swirl us around. Father, I offer this night up to you, and as we close a year of a great opportunity that you've given us, just pray for our continued faithfulness and for your continued blessing for the year to come. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
Thanks, Jay, for putting this together. It is really cool to just be able to come together as a family of families and just recount the story and the cause of our celebration. Let's just stand together and we'll sing Silent Night together. Christ the Savior is Christmas, everybody.